Welcome in on this Tuesday. Hope everybody is feeling a little better today. Got a little sleep, a little namaste, back to your zen. It's officially the off season, but there's a lot of breaking Titans news swirling around right now. A little bit of a Black Tuesday situation as far as the coaching staff is concerned. We'll get you updated on the latest momentarily. We have a lot to talk about. Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus is going to be here to get into some conversations about the matchups in this divisional round and now moving into championship weekend in the NFL. And we have a lot of Mike Vrabel for you to hear from today, given that he was at the podium. Locker room cleanout day. There was a bunch of players who met with the media, and only one of them was on the offensive side of the football. Shout out A.J. Brown for being willing to participate in that, because not a lot of people are often willing to do so. 615-737-1045, that's the number. That's how you jump in on the conversation, 615-737-1045. And the conversation starts here. Starts with Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill, because as we go through this morning, Brent Doherty of 3HL, of course, here on The Zone, was first out there with the news about 2 hours ago that inside linebackers coach Jim Haslett, Brent tweets, hearing Jim Haslett out, hashtag Titans. I was able to confirm that Jim Haslett, as the inside linebackers coach, is indeed out, and assistant special teams coach Matt Edwards was another name that I had heard had gotten the axe today. Now, forgive me if I mispronounce the assistant defensive line coach's name. Lucas, that one scares me. Kenechi Udeze? I'm going to butcher it. My apologies.
That sounds right.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
That's how I would guess.
Okay.
I'm usually pretty good at these things.
I trust you and your literacy. I don't necessarily trust mine. Regardless, respectfully, he is out as assistant defensive line coach. That was another one by Brent. And then John Glennon of Sports Illustrated added to that this morning, strength and conditioning coach Mondre Gee, another one out. So an assistant strength and conditioning coach in Mondre Gee. But none of those names offensive, and none of those names Todd Downing. And here's what I'll tell you. It would be a significant upset if Todd Downing found himself as not the Titans offensive coordinator come 2022. Would be a significant upset. And do you know why? Because the head coach gave him a pretty strong statement of support yesterday in the press conference, which I believe we do have available for people to hear from Mike Vrabel right now.
I think Todd does a great job. I think he's a great coach. I think he's a hard worker, you know. And, you know, there's always going to be calls you'd like to have back. There's plays you'd like to have back. But I don't evaluate things. You know, I try to see how guys communicate with each other, their players. Are we all on the same page? Is there, you know, good communication? How do we do on third down? How do we do in the red zone? And, you know, things have to be better in all three phases each and every year. But, you know, I love the relationship that Todd has with the assistant coaches and the players, and we'll all continue to improve.
Hey, what about in terms of the relationship with Ryan? Do you think that Ryan has suffered at all losing Arthur and going to Todd this year?
Arthur coaches for the Falcons.
Transition from Arthur to Todd, though. Do you feel like there's any diminishing effect at all?
No.
That's Mike Vrabel. Arthur Smith coaches for the Falcons. Thank you very much, Mike. Was unaware. And the effect, or if any, that Ryan Tannehill has suffered from Smith to Downing, Mike Vrabel appears to believe that it is a negligible effect. So how do you feel about that? Because I think it's pretty interesting. Now, on the one hand, you have the whole Shane Bowen off-season extravaganza, right? Where he is the embattled defensive coordinator, but he's not actually the defensive coordinator because he doesn't have full control. In 2020, he's still part-time outside linebackers coach, part-time first-time play caller. And then when he gets the reins, and maybe Jim Schwartz and some assistants, and certainly it's a staff effort. We associate one name with each side of the ball, which is probably incorrect, but you understand what I'm saying. So Shane Bowen makes it through the 2020 offseason. Mike Vrabel says double middle fingers. We're running it back, except with different players, this time on the defensive side of the ball. Now, as we sit here today, and I'll keep you updated as things go along with the staff changes that the Titans may make, right now I haven't heard anything about the off. As we sit here at 10:08 Central Time today, I have not heard anything about changes on the offensive staff for the Titans. Doesn't mean that it won't happen. Just means as we sit here at this very moment that has not, if it's happened, it has not been leaked out of the facility just yet. But Todd Downing, I do not expect by any stretch of the imagination, I do not expect Todd Downing to be one of those names. And it's complicated because on the one hand, I imagine, and you guys can weigh in on this, 615-737-1045. I imagine you trust Mike Vrabel quite a bit as far as his ability to identify coaching hires. Two of his former assistants, two of his former coordinators, Matt LaFleur, Arthur Smith. These guys are NFL head coaches. Yeah, sure, Matt LaFleur has Aaron Rodgers, but also Matt LaFleur has won more NFL games in his first three seasons than anybody in the history of the sport. It's not bad, no matter who your quarterback is. You have Arthur Smith, who did find some way to piece together this Frankenstein monster of a Falcons team, even though they had no business being competitive. And oftentimes they were. The other assistant, the other coordinator is Dean Pease, who's a legend, and Shane Bowen has panned out pretty well. So how much benefit of the doubt are you willing to give Mike Vrabel as far as Todd Downing is concerned? Because what Mike Vrabel said about not just Todd Downing, but also about Ryan Tannehill, both of those guys are coming back, y'all. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm doing myself a disservice because I could talk to you about, should the Titans trade for Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson and all of these different things? Should they? Who is the Jim Schwartz of the offense next season and all of these things? But the reality of the situation is, nah, those guys are coming back. You good with that? Are you good with one more than the other? My first inclination would be, okay. I mean, I'm certain that if I was in Todd Downing's position, not a first-time play caller, but first-time offensive coordinator with this franchise, I'd like another crack at the thing. It's as competitive a roster as he's ever going to have, though, so he better get much more creative in a hurry. The Ryan Tannehill situation, you know how I feel about it. He's going to be on this roster next season. I don't know that you draft a quarterback this year that's going to be able to unseat him. Maybe that's a perfect scenario. Maybe it doesn't happen and Ryan Tannehill's your quarterback again. It's entirely possible. In fact, probable. And I feel comfortable with Ryan Tannehill because I'm not just going to do recency bias on him after seeing the way that he performed in 19 and in 20, despite how the last two home playoff games have gone, which, by the way, are not good enough. No question. So we'll get you involved on this coming up next. The lines are loaded, 615-737-1045. I'll keep you updated with everything happening with the Titans coaching staff throughout the course of the day as well. We're going to get into how much you feel like and how much I feel like you should trust Mike Vrabel as far as these coaching hires are concerned, specifically as it relates to Todd Downing. That's coming up next. All right, lines are locked and loaded. Welcome back on 104.5 The Zone. Buck Rising here with you. We're talking Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill. Run it back? Question mark? It's happening. Keep you updated on the latest with the Titans staff changes. So far, four assistants and one assistant coach in Jim Haslett have been fired. So three assistant, one assistant special teams coach, one assistant defensive line coach, one assistant strength and conditioning coach, and then inside linebackers coach Jim Haslett all have been relieved of their duties so far this morning. Keep you updated if anything new comes about. But the question that I pose to you is this. Are you good with this? No changes on the offensive staff yet. It's entirely possible that something happens, but right now I haven't seen or heard anything taking place on that side of the football. And more specifically, Todd Downing and Ryan Tannehill are coming back. Mike Vrabel was asked yesterday why he believed that Ryan Tannehill should be the starting quarterback for this football team next year. I believe it was Teron Davenport that asked him on locker room cleanout day, and this is what the head coach had to say.
We've got elite toughness. You know, we have to be great around him, but he's shown signs of accuracy, of decision-making, to the ability to extend plays and to scramble and leadership. You know, so those are all things that you look for in a quarterback, and, you know, Ryan showed us that, unfortunately, you know, that we turned the ball over on Saturday.
Now, the key part of that for me is we have to be great around him, which is true. They have to be better around him. He has limitations. I'm not disputing this. But I'm also looking at a quarterback, and we'll get to this when we do winners and losers of the football weekend later. I'm looking at a quarterback who's got an immaculate record without throwing a touchdown pass, as our buddy Alan Bell from CBS Sportsline pointed out to us yesterday. I'll share with you who that quarterback is. He's still playing, by the way. Maybe you figured it out by now.
Yeah, context clues might help with that one.
Well, you know, I'll get to that. I'll get to that when we do winners and losers of the football weekend. But first to the phones, RJ in Phoenix is up first this morning on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, RJ.
Good morning, boss. How y'all doing this morning?
We're great, boss. What you got?
So, man, I ain't called yesterday because I wanted to listen to hear and see what everybody else is talking about. And I ain't want to talk about the same thing. So I'm going to talk about the financial benefit. Man, I'm talking about Uber drivers, hotel workers are thanking the Tennessee Titans all over Kansas City right now. And I'm not talking about the people who live in the buildings downtown Nashville and eat in the buildings of downtown Nashville, but I'm talking about the people who work in the buildings of downtown Nashville, man. And they missed out on a financial windfall coming up next weekend. Man, the Titans super blew it. We stuck with Tanny. That's what we got. I haven't watched any of the other games since we lost. I haven't listened to no SportsCenter. Barely turned y'all on yesterday, dude. I'm embarrassed. I'm hurt. I feel like our window has closed. This was our year. The way the playoffs fell, the teams are still in it. I mean, it was there for this. It's downhill from here, man. So that's all I got, dude.
It's a doom and gloom. Good God, RJ. I thought it was going to be a little brighter, a little more optimistic. We're 3 days removed from them blowing it at this point, but he's right. You imagine how many people downtown are pissed about how much money they could have made in downtown Nashville had Nashville hosted an AFC championship game. But again, we did the Burn It Down show yesterday. Now, potentially, this is still going to be a conversation, but right now we're talking about pieces that are coming back, not pieces that you can get rid of. And the financial situation as far as the salary cap is concerned, we'll talk about that throughout the course of the week. By the way, there's a top 50 free agents list because now, Titans fans, we are unfortunately in the dark, dark times of list season for basically 7 months. God help us. But the top 50 free agent list is out, and there are a couple of Titans, certainly one in the top 15, that you should be focused on first and foremost, and we'll get to that later on. But as far as Ryan Tannehill is concerned, yeah, he's on the books. And again, the financially feasible way that you could go about this, and I say this without mortgaging your future. This is why John Robinson was reticent and has been reticent to restructure contracts before, up until the Ryan Tannehill thing to make room for Julio Jones, right? John was on the show the first day that we did the show in March, and we talked about the idea, could you restructure some guys to make room for additional free agent signings? And basically, his stance at the time was, we don't tend to like to kick the cap can down the road that way, because you're going to have to, at least in salary cap, the players are making the same amount of money regardless. But as far as the cap hit is concerned, that's the thing that they're trying to avoid ballooning on them. And so with Ryan Tannehill, it's done exactly that. 38.6 next year. He accounts for 18.29% of the Titans' salary cap. And in fact, the next closest as far as percentage of salary cap is concerned, he's almost double that. The next closest is Bud Dupree, who accounts for 9.1% of the Titans salary cap right now. It's a tough one to have to eat, especially coming off of that game when you heard Harry Douglas yesterday describe the play calling by Downing as atrocious, and particularly atrocious, the play of Ryan Tannehill in a massive spot as the number one overall seed. We go next to Andrew, who's in Portland, Tennessee, up next on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, fellas. A couple of things real quick. To everybody that's calling for a trade of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry for Russell Wilson, for everybody who's calling for...
Wait. Are people advocating? Andrew, this is the first I've heard. You're the first person to bring up the idea that they could trade Derrick Henry. Is this a thing that's happening?
This is not something in my imagination, Buck. It was mentioned in the chat on 3HL yesterday. And I think it got to the point where it was brought on air, not that they were advocating for it, meaning Brent and Ron, but just your Tennessee fans that are just overreacting. It is what it is. But let's stop all that nonsense and let's be real for a second. Yes, Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback next year. Yes, Todd Downing is going to be our offensive coordinator. And look, I think we should trust Vrabel here, because if you look at it, last season it was what? It was fire Shane Bowen.
Mm-hmm.
And he supported him, and look what happened, a drastic turnaround. I think we're going to see a lot of changes on the offensive side of the ball, but your quarterback and your offensive coordinator ain't one of them. We're going to bring in pieces like we did last year for the defense, hopefully not as expensive, and we're going to run it back. And look, if it turns out to be Shane Bowen 2.0, sign me the hell up. So, Titans fans, breathe. I hope you're over the loss. I get it if you're not, but just take a breath. Step away from the Twitter machine and from the dramatics, and let's just move forward together. See you, fellas.
Thanks for the call, Andrew in Portland, 615-737-1045. You can jump in if you like. Now, here's, and I don't disagree with him, right? Mike Vrabel's earned the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he just has, in more ways than one. Now, is Mike Vrabel without flaw? Of course not. Is he going to be a lot harder to tell that somebody else may know better than him, especially after winning back-to-back divisions in 12 games with this particular roster? Yeah, Mike Vrabel is going to be entrenched in his position. And he talks about it all the time, right? It's our job being media types, vultures like me, right? That's our job to second guess after the fact. Thank God that's how I pay my mortgage. But it's not Mike Vrabel's job. In fact, Mike Vrabel actively avoids second-guessing himself or the staff second-guessing themselves, because, of course, that's how you get in your own head if you're in one of these positions. Now, the Todd Downing situation is going to be heavily scrutinized, because the differences between Bowen and Downing are this. In 2020, there was a global pandemic. Teaching and coaching and many other things in life were all done virtually for the first time in the NFL, done over Zoom. You did not have physical contact with your players near as often as you would like to. You had a draft class coming in that was completely unaware of what their first NFL experience was going to be like and how completely different it would be from any other NFL draft class that came before them. Free agents were near impossible to get in the building because of travel limitations and restrictions in the early parts of COVID. And of course, this Titans team had the first COVID outbreak among NFL franchises, and Shane Bowen was one of the first coaches in the middle of that when he didn't travel to the Minnesota Vikings game. So there's a million different reasons why Shane, as a first-time and not even full-time defensive coordinator in his season, in his first season in 2020, is different from Todd Downing. Least of which, the fact that they gave him almost an entirely, I mean, half a new defense to try and figure this thing out with. And you know what? It worked. Swimmingly. We talked about this before the season, and I told you that Todd Downing was going to be under way more pressure to perform because of who he was replacing in Arthur Smith and what he had at his disposal. Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill coming off a 40-total touchdown season, A.J. Brown, and now add to the mix Julio Jones. The same five starting offensive linemen with the exception, so four of the five starting offensive linemen with the exception of Dennis Kelly, And all of these things put on Todd Downing's lap as somebody who has been an offensive coordinator in a previous spot. It's a different circumstance. You can't just gut the offense the same way that you did the defense last year. Offense wasn't bad enough for you to gut, even if it petered out the way that it did in the postseason game with 16 total points. It wasn't bad enough to completely nuke. Now, there will be some changes, and I imagine there will be significant change along the offensive line. But as far as the rest of this is concerned, I would say to you, Mike Vrabel has earned the benefit of the doubt, but the Downing situation is not necessarily a parallel. There's a million different reasons why Shane Bowen had the kind of struggles that he did.
I think one problem, though, with the conversation about improving the pieces around Tannehill is that that performance on Saturday came when the pieces around him were about as good as they've been all season.
That's as good as that offense has looked since week one, like health-wise.
Yeah, he should have been at his most comfortable all season long.
With additional time to prepare.
Yeah.
And it looked exactly the same as, you know, a game with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina as your wide receiver one against the Jets.
Arguably worse as far as turnovers.
Oh, no.
The only game that was worse was the Texans game.
That's correct. That is correct. I mean, it's just, it's outright bad. And from the standpoint, well, that's not true, actually, Lucas. They turned the ball over three times against the Cincinnati Bengals. In New England, they turned it over four times. Against the Texans, they turned it over five times. That's Steelers also four turnovers. So there was a bunch of those.
The fourth worst.
There's a bunch of those. But this one feels the worst. I had to think about for a second. I was like, did they have a fourth turnover that I didn't remember? No, they do that in bunches. That's what we said.
It felt worse
all week long
of the way it was bookended. Right, the first and final pass attempt of the day. Crippling.
Oh, it's just a kick square to the groin. Tough scene. Michael is in Charlotte, North Carolina, calling in next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys. I trust Vrabel. I have no issue at all with trusting Vrabel and his decision as far as, like, the coaching goes. For me, more the trust issue is one with John Robinson and these last two draft classes, more so on the skill player side of things. That's the big issue for me. And then the other big issue is the trust with Ryan Tannehill. This morning, people were calling in saying, oh, we got to put more pieces around them. And even now, they're calling in telling you they need more pieces around them. He had the pieces this year. You go back to 2020, he had Derrick Henry. He had A.J. Brown. He had Jonnu Smith. He had Corey Davis. How much more can we add around this guy and be successful? I mean, what else does he need? Give some of the top-tier quarterbacks the pieces he had. They're still playing next weekend. I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Michael, you're spot on. Right? And this is a question that we're trying to determine in real time, right, without necessarily having the ability to do this accurately. Because I saw our buddy Teron Davenport at ESPN. He wrote a piece this morning for ESPN.com about the Titans and Ryan Tannehill have hit their ceiling, and it's not the Super Bowl, right? Is this, in fact, the ceiling for Ryan Tannehill with the Tennessee Titans? And I don't know how to answer that question until Tannehill's time with the Titans is done. Like, what ended up being the peak? But when they lost this game 19-16 against the Bengals on Saturday at Nissan Stadium, Todd Downing deserves a lot of heat. I thought the offensive game plan was lacking, to be quite frank with you. And again, I understand that I am not a professional NFL head coach, nor am I an offensive coordinator. Todd Downing has forgotten more about football than I will ever possibly know. I concede that thoroughly, and it's easier to do the analysis in retrospect. But the biggest issue with the Downing offense this year is that it seemed to be limited. We understood why it would be limited, given the fact that the personnel, 38 different starters on offense, personnel constantly changing. Of course, there are going to be limitations with that. I am entirely willing to afford him the benefit of the doubt there. But it cannot be, again, as I said yesterday, where I'm reading Matt Bowen's analysis of the game. Matt Bowen, who played in the league, who understands film on a deeper level than just about anybody I know outside of maybe, I could name him on one hand. Matt Bowen's analysis of the Titans' pass game structure cannot be, quote, limited by play design, when you've got that kind of talent. You cannot have it that way. 615-737-1045. We got Bam in Nashville next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Bam.
What's up, Buck? How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, buddy.
Man, look, let me first say this. When it comes to Mike Vrabel and what he said about Todd Downing yesterday, I don't think he's just going to come out and say, he sucks, we got to get rid of him. He still has a professional job to do and to make it look as what it is. That don't mean that the players feel that he's this, that, and the next, or like they don't know that there's a problem with him. That's first off.
Well, Bam, now, let me to respond to your first part. I mean, if Vrabel felt a certain kind of way about Todd Downing, I imagine it would sound a hell of a lot like he did with Darrington Evans and Des Fitzpatrick when Mike Vrabel wasn't satisfied with what they were getting. There's a difference between being diplomatic and a full-on endorsement, which is exactly what that man did yesterday at the podium. Bam, I think you're misreading that.
Okay, well, I mean, you may be right. We'll have to see how it unplays. Now, what I was going to say about Shane Bourne was this. The reason I give Shane Bourne the pass this year, she proved himself because the year before, we didn't have a defensive coordinator. It was between Mike Vrabel and him. So this was the first year that we actually said, okay, Shane Bowen, this is your defense. Okay, they brought in somebody to help him. They brought Swartz in to help him. I just don't see Todd having the cojones to be what this team needs. We need to get rid of him, go get Tim Kelly. And then after that, let's go and make a run, man. Like, our window is closing. Todd Downing is not the guy. And we're going to see Ryan Tannehill regress more and more and more under this system, man. Like, it's just not – it, man, look, it shouldn't take you 12 years to realize that it's just not going to work. Like, you're going to waste the rest of what Julio's career, AJ's career, what's left of Tannehill's career and Henry's career trying to figure stuff out. And then when this window closed, we're going to be back to rebuilding again. Like, we don't have the time to sit around and say, okay, well, we're going to do this. You know, we don't have that kind of time or luxury.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bam. You are also out of time as we are needing to play you off there. Lucas Panzeca has given you the Oscar music, which means that your call has exceeded 60 seconds here on 104.5 The Zone, and we got other calls to take. But what I will tell you, Bam, is this. I kind of like this behind me.
We love you, Bam.
Little Broadway showtime here. I like it. Yeah. I mean, 2020 might have been the best we're going to see Ryan Tannehill, right? I don't know how else to answer that. You're talking about 40 total touchdowns. You're talking about an offense that's as healthy as it ever was this year. And again, there were some flaws with the play design and play execution. But more than anything, the quarterback is going to be the focal point of all of this. Again, I say to you, Mike Vrabel has said, when asked, there's plenty of reasons why Ryan Tannehill should be the starting quarterback next year. But do take him at his word when he says we need to be great around him. Because he's displayed some of the ability that allows you to win football games. But they need to be great around him. And can you always count on that? No, is the answer to the question. And sometimes it's going to look like it did on Saturday. It just can't happen in a playoff game. Kevin is in Crossville up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Buck? You doing all right?
I'm well, buddy.
Great, man. My thought is this. I'm tired of these Tennessee Titans fans crying like little babies. When Tannehill wins a game, he's the best quarterback in the world. When he loses a game, his head is on the chopping block. Thing is, Tannehill plays well enough. The thing is, Tannehill can't throw the ball and catch the ball either. And that whole game would have had a different outcome if the receiver had caught the ball. The ball was on the number. So it comes down to, like you're saying, and Mark Vrabel saying, the people around him have to do their job. It's not all on Tannehill. I hope he does come back. I don't see any need to change anything. That game really came down to execution and penalty. And that was the whole thing. So all of these Tennessee Titan fans ready to jump out the windows and off a bridge and stuff is ridiculous. It, that game came down to bad execution by the players, not necessarily Tannehill.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. I don't know that I could be overwhelmingly critical of players outside of Tannehill, to be honest with you. He was well protected. I thought that there, I mean, and, you know, the deep shot that he missed to A.J. Brown, right, it looked like there might have been some kind of a miscommunication, but it ultimately just ended up being an overthrow in that moment. The defense, there's nothing for me to be critical. I mean, other than they gave Ja'Marr Chase basically the line to get them into field goal range with Evan McPherson, the BDE kicker rookie out of Florida.
Cold as ice.
Apparently is coming for all of everybody's stuff. Out here chirping at Joe Burrow on the sideline saying, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship game, kids. And the rookie.
And penalties hardly had any to do with it. They had two penalties for 15 yards.
Yeah, I would dispute that notion. I would say to you, I'm not as out on Ryan Tannehill as most people. I'm also acknowledging to you that Ryan Tannehill wasn't near good enough to win a playoff game on Saturday. We're going to do winners and losers of the football weekend here in just a second. The number is 615-737-1045, but I want to squeeze Joey in White Bluff in next before we get to winners and losers. What you got for me, Joey?
You speaking, Joey?
Yes, Joey. You're on the air.
My name is Jerry.
Well, I apologize. My call screener says Joey, but we'll go with Jared. Well, hello, Jared.
We'll go ahead and fire him then, you know, so you don't need him. But okay. Buck Rising, I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You got a good show and all. The last caller that called in, I'm going to tell you, he was spot on. And he took away a lot of my gripe I had going on here. I'm a 70-year-old man.
Yes, sir.
And I'm sitting back and I'm listening to all these comments going on and everything about how the Titans did this and other. Everybody's a Monday morning quarterback, you know, figuring out what's right and wrong and everything. Look, we had 28 other teams under us crying that they couldn't be where we were at. We didn't get where we were at because of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry was out 9 games before it all stopped. We went on a run, you know. Then we did have a full team back. And you know what, Buck, I tell you, I'm going to get on you a little bit. You listen to me, my man. Hey, you can sit back and in your home, I know you may cut me off, and dissect this and come out and have perfect comments on everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate your show. Don't get me wrong. If I didn't, I wouldn't be listening to it and commenting. And I thank you so much for letting me have my 2 cents right here and all. But the last the guy come on before me, hit it May alone, you know. They missed a pass or two, and things got turned around. That happens. That's the NFL. That stuff kind of happens, you know. And Vrabel's kind of said, you know, hey, you know, we didn't have a perfect game. We no one has a perfect game all the time. And we lost a playoff game. But we had 28 other teams under us that wish they could have been where we were at, you know.
Sure.
So love our team. Let's not all be negative on our team in Nashville. And I say all, not everyone is. But most people are nitpicking this to death, you know. Like I say, I'm a 70-year-old man. And I'm sitting back here thinking, why are we doing it? You know, we've had some great games and we've won some tremendous playoff games in our history. We got to where we were at because we were a good team. You know, I think bringing Henry back, you know, is, you know, like a spark kind of a thing. But I think we'd have stayed with what we had with a question going on with the players we had going, we couldn't have been beat. But I know Henry, don't get me wrong, Henry is the Titan. He is a symbol for the Titan. But I just want to comment on the last caller, and I'm not going to keep you very long. I know you're going to cut me off.
Thank you, Joey. I tried to let him land the plane. I tried. Lucas, you got loud with the music.
I what I appreciate about Jerry was him saying, well, I know you're going to cut me
off. It was
and I'm
Jared,
keep it
you
short.
Jerk.
No, I think it's
you
Jerry.
Gave me Joey. He said Jared, or did he say Jerry? Either way, his point is
Modi,
well.
Moses Moody.
He wants you fired, by the way. How do you feel about
that? I guess I'll just get out of here.
No, please, God.
I'll catch you later.
Here's what I'll say in response to that. It is my job. It's literally my job to Monday morning quarterback. And yes, there are plenty of teams who would like to be in your position as the Tennessee Titans. But I will tell you that there is a reason that the rest of the NFL, not just here in Nashville, but those players, that coach, that staff, everybody in this city were dumbfounded by the way that they lost that game. It never should have happened that way. It never should have happened that way. That's why there is this kind of scrutiny on this particular game. I feel like most people understand that. I understand that there's a degree of gratitude for another fun football season. I'm sure people like Jerry or Jared, forgive me, have seen a million different football seasons, or 70 to be exact, in their lifetime. So at some point, maybe you get a little numb to it. But it should never look like that as the one seed. And it has now for this franchise three damn times. That's why it's being nitpicked to death. More of your calls coming up next. We got winners and losers of the football weekend. Stick around. It's 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back here on 104.5 The Zone. We got winners and losers of the football weekend, top of the 11 o'clock hour. But right now, people are pissed. Lines are loaded. 615-737-1045. We got V-Love. Who's tweeted us basically that, you know, bleep some of those downtown people, because we had a caller saying, you know, think about all the people who lost potential earnings because of the Titans not making it to the AFC Championship. Bleep some of those downtown people when they include the likes of John Rich, who swore off the NFL because their players stood up for societal issues, but conveniently hopped back on when it could make him some money / clout. I did see that on News Channel 5. They shot a John Rich music video at Redneck Riviera where they're all decked out in Titans gear and cowboy hats, and I'm watching that and being like, wasn't John Rich like one of these people, stand or get out of the country type of people? You know, I'm just like, what are you doing there, bud?
Is the camera shot like just waist up?
Yeah.
Like, can you see the stool he's standing on?
That's not nice. Is he diminutive, John Rich? I mean, I assume he's not big. Big is the big one.
That's the word on the street.
Okay. You're just making little man jokes to John Rich for no reason. William is in Vegas up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, William.
Hey, Buck. How y'all doing?
We're doing well.
Hey, did y'all get the idea for the music, closing music from Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm?
You know, we did not. It's the Oscars. It's the Oscars music that they play them off when they've gone too long. That's the inspiration.
Yeah, that is from an episode of Curb, though.
Oh, did they do it in Curb?
Someone reminded me of that after the fact. I hadn't seen that episode in so long. Okay. That's not the reason why we did it, but it is a funny coincidence.
Subliminally.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll try to hurry up so I won't get the music. Hey, I just want to say, I think the whole world knows that the issue is Todd Downing. If you look at his two seasons of work, one with the Raiders and one with the Titans. And then also you look at Arthur Smith, who had two seasons with the Titans play calling. I mean, you can tell that Arthur Smith is playing chess while Downing is playing checkers. So, I mean, but the scary thing about that is that Vrabel's so smart. He is a very smart, intelligent coach. But if he doesn't see that problem, then I think Titans are in trouble. And I hang up and listen.
Hey, thanks for the call, William. Here's the thing about Mike, right? Like, Mike is going to be able to identify when they have issues schematically. Now, it'll be after the fact, after they've had the opportunity to review the film. You know, performance reviews are a thing in the NFL after the season, just the same way that they are in any place of employment. So from that standpoint, I don't think Mike wouldn't be able to. It's not like he would misidentify the issue. It's just a matter of, one, Mike Vrabel being loyal, and two, he's willing to give Todd Downing the benefit of the doubt that they'll be able to do things differently should a similar situation arise, because he trusts Todd Downing's relationship with the assistants, with the players, and his ability to communicate, which is basically what Vrabel said to us yesterday. So those are Mike Vrabel's words, not mine, William, but I do appreciate the call. Let's get Darrington. before we do winners and losers of the football weekend. The floor is yours.
In 2018, LeBron James won another NBA championship, and he quoted, "I just want my damn respect."
Mm-hmm.
Y'all drugged me for I don't know how long because I kept saying Ryan Tannehill wasn't that guy.
You deserved it.
But you know what? Hey, so what if he threw another 3-interception game? It wasn't his fault, you know? So I just want to know. I have never seen so many fans drag fans. Oh, my gosh. I don't know who y'all blaming worse, fans for jumping out the window for being passionate or the offensive coordinator. When do y'all think 91 players are going to be an effect of the game? You know, that does mean something. That's eventually going to catch up with you. I mean, at some point. Until you get this guy tight end as a safety blanket, because he does not have that. AJ can only do so much. Until he gets that security blanket, you're only going to go so far. And I need you to mention that 25th-ranked secondary. Until that gets fixed, the holes there. Because, as you said, Jamar Chase got to do what he wants to do. But at the end of the day, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. And I just want my damn respect.
Okay.
See you, Bucker!
He said Bucker.
Yes, that was with a B.
He said Bucker. Somewhere our boss just got tight.
It was a B.
All right, winners and losers of the football weekend, that's coming up next. Your phone calls as well. Lines are loaded if you want to jump in on this conversation. Do you trust Mike Vrabel's decision as far as his coaching hires are concerned? Because I'll tell you, Mike's earned it, but I know a lot of people are not feeling great about the Todd Downing situation today. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.